Our scripture lesson for this morning will come from the book of 2 Timothy. We'll be reading from chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, and it is found on page 1038 of your pew Bibles. So this time let us listen to God's word for us. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as did my fathers, when I remember you constantly in my prayers. As I remember your tears, I long night and day to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you. Hence I remind you to rekindle the faith of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. Do not be ashamed then of testifying to our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel in the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not in virtue of our works, but in virtue of his own purpose and the grace which he gave us in Christ Jesus ages ago, and now has manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, and therefore I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are Christ Jesus. Guard the truth that has been entrusted to you by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. It's the word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. O God, my rock and my redeemer, in Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A little later in the service, we'll be reciting together the Apostles' Creed, where we acknowledge some important things about what we believe as faithful disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll acknowledge that we believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We'll acknowledge that we believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. And we will acknowledge that we believe in the Holy Spirit. All of these statements about God and the nature of God we come to believe and know are near and dear to our hearts and what we believe and what we profess. But we will also acknowledge something else, something about ourselves as the people of God. We'll acknowledge that we believe in the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of the saints. Being the good Protestants that we are, some of us may get a little tripped up over the word Catholic. But the word Catholic simply refers to the fact that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are all one. That's what the word Catholic means. It means that we are one with Christians all over the world. We are one with Christians in Asia. We are one with Christians in Africa, in the Middle East, in Europe, in Latin America. We all have a common bond, a common communion, a common identity that knits us together as the body of Christ. Today, as Jason reminded us, is World Communion Sunday. Today, Christians all over the world will be celebrating our oneness as the body of Christ as we gather around the Lord's table to partake of our common meal of bread and the fruit of the vine. For us Presbyterians, the Lord's Supper is a sacrament. It is one of two sacraments that we observe in our Presbyterian church. The other sacrament is the sacrament of baptism. A sacrament is a visible sign of an invisible reality. And in the Lord's table, in the Lord's supper, the bread and the juice are visible signs of God's saving grace and love for each and every one of us, manifested in the life and death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it's also a visible sign of our oneness and our unity. Our oneness and unity with the Lord Jesus Christ, and our oneness and unity with each other and with Christians around the world. Of course, we've become pretty adept as Christians at erecting dividing walls and barriers that separate us from one another. It is one of the reasons that the Apostle Paul tells us in his letter to the church at Corinth that before we come to the Lord's table, we need to examine ourselves, and that we need to examine ourselves and discern the body. He's not just talking about individual introspection, but he's talking about our relationships, our relationship with one another, and our relationship with Christians around the world. One of the things that separates us as American Christians from Christians around the world is that, for the most part, we have things pretty good here in this country. Things go pretty well for us. We don't have to worry about some of the things that our brothers and sisters around the world have to worry about. We live in a free country, and we live in a time when we can assemble and worship freely. We live at a time and in a place where there are no major encumbrances before us in terms of coming together and gathering together to worship. Several years ago, I was talking to some missionaries who were serving in Malawi, Africa, and they were relating how many of the worshipers and the congregants at the church where they were serving at there in Malawi had to come and walk for miles around in order to come to the church. They'd have to get up early in the morning. Some of them would have to walk over 10 miles to get to church. And when they got there, it wasn't just a 1 hour or 2 hour affair, but they would be there all day worshiping and praising God and enjoying each other's company and fellowship. And I think about our own day. I think about how many of us find almost any excuse not to be able to come to church, even though we have all the modern conveniences, and even though we have churches on just about every corner. Many of us often find excuses not to be in church regularly. Another thing that separates us from many Christians around the world is the implicit assumption here that once we become Christians, that we are not supposed to experience any hardship or suffering. We are reminded that for many of our brothers and sisters around the world, that they understand that to become a Christian or to be a Christian is an invitation to enter into hardship and suffering. Think about what it would mean to be a Christian in a place like China right now. Think about what it would mean to be a Christian in a place like North Korea. Think about what it would mean to be a Christian in Nigeria, where just last week a number of Christian students were murdered, were singled out and murdered. Think of what it means to be a Christian in Syria right now. I was listening on the radio the other day, and they were talking about the civil war there in Syria. And we are reminded that about 10% of the population of Syria is comprised of Christians. And under the current Assad government, they've had it pretty well. But now that the country is descending into violence and chaos, many Christian communities are singled out, and they are often the targets of violence. So think about what it would mean to be a Christian in those kinds of situations. All around the world, there are Christians who are being persecuted. There are Christians who are being attacked, Christians who are being tortured, Christians who are being killed and driven from their homes. There are Christians who are being imprisoned and jailed, Christians who are being targeted for all kinds of reasons. And in the midst of their trials and tribulations, they need to know that they are not alone. They need to know that they are part of one big family. They need to know that there are brothers and sisters around the world who stand with them, who are praying for them, who are remembering them. I bring this to your attention this morning, not because I want to excite our tribal instincts and get us all worked up to become enemies of those who are persecuting Christians around the world, but I bring this to your attention on this World Communion Sunday because I want us to think about what it means to be the body of Christ. I want us to think about what it means to be one with our brothers and sisters around the world and what it means to come to this table to partake of the supper that is provided at this table, the Lord's table. Our reading this morning from 2 Timothy is one of the pastoral epistles. It contains words of advice and encouragement from the Apostle Paul to his young charge, Timothy, who is no doubt experiencing some difficult times in his own ministry. But it also reflects Paul's deep hunger and longing to be connected with and to be in communion with fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. As he writes this letter to Timothy, Paul, of course, is in jail. He is locked away in a cold, dark prison for boldly proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is he physically separated from friends and comrades, but we are told that many of his friends and comrades have turned against him and are in the process of turning away from him. They have turned away from him because they are ashamed of him. They are ashamed because he is in prison. And they are perhaps ashamed of the gospel itself. They're ashamed to be a follower of someone who was crucified on the cross. We need to kind of understand where they're coming from here. Paul, one of their organizers and leaders, is in jail. And Jesus Christ himself, who they have worshipped and followed, they remember that he himself had suffered and was crucified on the cross. And so they're saying to themselves, this is where it ends up. If being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ means suffering or the possibility of suffering, then we're not quite sure we want to be involved in that. We're not quite sure we want to follow that path. And so they are beginning to turn away from Paul because of his suffering and because of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's in the midst of his suffering, in the midst of his loneliness and his isolation, that Paul reaches out to Timothy. He wants Timothy to remember. To remember him, to remember their common bond, and to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants Timothy to remember that they are one. Even though Paul is in prison, even though he is suffering, even though Timothy is on the outside, Paul wants him to remember that they are one, that they have a common bond. That's what Paul is saying. Timothy, do not forget me. Timothy, remember me. Timothy, pray for me. Timothy, do not be ashamed of me. Do not be ashamed of my suffering. I need to know that you are out there. I need to know that I'm not alone. I need to know that all of my life, the direction of my life has not been in vain. Please don't forget me, Timothy. Please don't be ashamed of me. Please remember me here in prison. Please remember that we are one. Please remember that we are united. Timothy, do not forget me. Remember me. And not only that, but Paul tells Timothy that he needs him to remember the gospel. He tells Timothy to join with him in suffering for the sake of the gospel. And when Paul talks about gospel, he's not just talking about the abstract belief that Jesus Christ died for our sins. That's true. But when Paul talks about gospel, he's talking about the fact that through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that God has laid claim on this world. That God has laid claim on this world, and he has called us to lay claim on this world. To go out and to proclaim that good news, not just by what we say, but to proclaim that good news in how we live our lives. He wants us to be prepared to challenge the world with the good news of the gospel. And he wants us to be prepared to suffer if need be for the sake of the gospel. On this World Communion Sunday, as we prepare to gather around the table of our Lord, we too are called to remember. We are called to remember the sufferings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are called to remember his body that was broken for us. We are called to remember his blood that was shed for us and that was poured out for us. Jesus says that whenever we gather around the table, that we are to remember him. Do this in remembrance of me. That's what Jesus tells us. Remember me. Every time you eat this bread and you drink this cup, remember me. Do not be ashamed of me. Do not be ashamed of my sufferings, but remember me. I want to know that we are one. I want to know that you are part of my body. I want to know that my sufferings have not been in vain. I want you to remember me. We are to remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his sufferings when we gather around this table. But also when we gather around this table, we are to remember the sufferings of our brothers and our sisters around the world. In fact, it's when we remember their sufferings that we also remember the saving death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ until he comes again. And we remember the sufferings of Christians in China who are forced to go through re-education boot camps in China. When we remember the sufferings of Christians in Nigeria who have had their homes firebombed. When we remember the sufferings of Christians in Iraq who are imprisoned for the sake of the gospel. When we remember the sufferings of Christians who are in hospitals because they have dared proclaim the good news of the gospel. When we remember the sufferings of Christians around the world, we remember the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what Jesus reminds us of. For those who go hungry for his sake, for those who are hospitalized for his sake, for those who suffer for his sake, whenever we remember them, we remember him and his sufferings. We are called to remember our brothers and sisters around the world and to remember that we are one. But we're also called to be shaped and formed by the supper. We are called to be shaped and formed by the pattern of the cross. We are gathered here this morning as the people of God. We are gathered here this morning as the body of Christ. We are gathered here this morning as the church to be broken ourselves, to be poured out ourselves for the sake of the gospel. That's what Paul means when he says that he wants us to join with him and to join with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the sake of the gospel. We are called when we gather around this table to learn what it means to be chosen, to learn what it means to be blessed, to learn what it means to be broken and to be given away for the sake of the world. One of the ways that we celebrate our oneness is our own willingness to suffer for the cause of Christ. And you say, well, Pastor, we don't have to do that in this country. We have it good in this country. We have it good in America. We have it good here. We may have to worry about an atheist every now and then, but we don't have to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ here in this country. We have it good. But what would it mean like if we really joined the Apostle Paul in proclaiming the gospel? What would it look like if we followed the Lord Jesus Christ in proclaiming the gospel, in living the gospel out? What would it look like if we challenged the forces and the powers that are extant in our own culture, that is extant in our own country? What would it look like if we challenged them with the good news of the gospel? What if we told our political leaders that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and that he is the Savior? What if we told our business leaders that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and only Jesus brings salvation, that money and power don't bring salvation? What if we put the world on notice, our world, that we are united with those in our country, in our own country, who often suffer and are forgotten? What if we challenged our own culture with the good news of God's word? Would that not be an opportunity for us to suffer? Maybe on this World Communion Day, this World Communion Sunday, when we celebrate our oneness with brothers and sisters around the world, maybe we ought to ponder why things are so good for us. Maybe we ought to ponder whether or not we have been shaped by the pattern of this supper. Maybe we ought to ponder whether we have offered our lives up to be broken and to be poured out for the sake of the gospel. We come around the communion table to be nourished. We come around the communion table to remember. We come around the communion table to be challenged. To be challenged in our unity with our brothers and sisters around the world. To be challenged to go forward into the world and to live out the good news of the gospel with our very lives. That's what it means to be one. To be one with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to be one with our brothers and sisters who are suffering around the world. Let us keep that close to our hearts as we partake of this feast that has been prepared for us through the suffering death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, as we prepare ourselves to partake of your table, we ask that you help us to remember what it means. Help us to remember the love that you have shown for each and every one of us. Help us to remember how we rejected that love as it was manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to remember how we turned our backs on you and on him. Help us to remember how we humiliated him and beat him and had him flogged. Help us to remember how we approved him being hung on the cross. Help us to remember even then how we mocked him and turned our backs on him. Help us to remember our brothers and sisters around the world who go forward in challenging the world in which they live with the good news of the gospel. Help us to remember our unity with them, our oneness with them, our solidarity with them. And help us, Lord, to be formed and shaped into that pattern that you have called us to, the pattern which has a cross in the middle of it. Help us, too, to go out into the world to challenge the forces and powers of our own day, our own age, our own place, with the good news of your saving grace. Help us, Lord, to discern the body and to rightly partake of the meal that has been set before us. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.